Welcome to the January 16th, 2011, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, John the Baptist, an Epiphany of Sorts. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't you take just a second and greet the people around you. Say good morning. Quick, go. Look at this, Ray. This side get the prize.
Choir, all right. Peace to the
Shalom. Okay, this side of the congregation gets the prize. They were the friendliest. They were all standing up, mingling. I don't know what was going on over here, but yeah. It is great to see everyone this morning. We're excited to be in worship together. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do this are the pew pads. You'll find that on the inside aisle of your pew. We invite members and guests, if you could take that pew pad, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down once you've finished with it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We ask a couple things. Members, when that pew pad gets to you and there's a guest on your pew, find their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service. We do ask, once that pew pad gets back to the first person who used it this morning, if you could tear those pages out, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. A few announcements about today's schedule. We are having children's time right after the first hymn, right down here. Children's time, inviting all the kids to come hang out with me for just a moment. Other things are listed there in your upcoming events, opportunities for the week. Youth choir is meeting today at 4:30, but no other youth activities today. Other things, the youth are headed to ski retreat. Sign up is this Wednesday. You'll find details on the church website about that. Mary, you wanted to make an announcement?
Ladies, some of y'all may have noticed an announcement in the newsletter concerning a possible women's trip this Saturday evening to hear Thelma Wells speak in Kernersville. If you are interested in that, the cost is $10. We're debating right now whether we might leave early enough to go eat dinner beforehand. But if you are interested, if you would get with me, because I need to decide if we're going to go and get tickets and all of those sort of things. And it is Saturday evening. So please see me or call me or email me in the next 24 hours or so.
Okay. We are in the midst of our basketball season. Many of you have been coming out and enjoying basketball with our basketball teams. Reminder that we've always printed the schedule on the back of your bulletin. So if you want to know when and where to be headed to watch basketball, that you've got that. Also, our primary basketball league, which is for four-year-olds through third grade, is going to start a week from this Thursday. So we want you to make note of that. Thursday, January 27th, from 6:30 to 7:30. That will get started. Want to make a special announcement about our College Parkers. That monthly event is happening this Thursday. And the group, called The Group, will be here Thursday at 11:30. And so it'll be a big day for College Parkers, and we hope that you're able to be a part of that. Other things are listed there. Opportunities for the week. We just make sure you make note of those things. We would like to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. A few moments ago, you you gave us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate you doing that. If you're a guest with us, we'd like for you to just raise your hand right where you are. Ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So we are certainly blessed by your presence today, and we pray that God would speak to you in a powerful way during this hour of worship. I think that's all the announcements. It's time. It's time. Maybe it's past time. Maybe it's the right time. The time is now that God wants to speak to me. And he wants to speak to you. He has a message for us. If we have ears to hear, let us prepare to worship. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of this moment, the gift of this day. Father, it's easy for us to be so busy in our lives with things that are happening on our schedules and our responsibilities. So often we can forget what a gift that this moment is. Let us recognize that without you, our lives are meaningless. Without you, this service is pointless. Come into this place, we pray. Be in our midst. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. invite all the kids. Come on down. Would y'all sit up here for me? Kind of look this way. We'll wait till everybody gets here. Everybody take a seat. All right. We'll wait a couple. Come on down. All right, don't block my object lesson here. All right, how's everybody doing this morning? Good. Tyler, do you know what this is? It's a vacuum cleaner. Do you use this at your house? Come show me. Come stand up here and show me. Come stand up here. Is that what you do to your mom when she says, come vacuum? You do, oh, I don't want to do that. Yes. Okay. All right. So show me how it's done. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll give you a little hint. All right. You got to press that button. But it's not doing anything. Oh, it's not plugged in. Okay. All right. Let's plug it in. Tyler, can you plug that in for me right down here? All right. You got to do everything. Okay. All right. Plug it in. Oh, it does work. Okay. All right. So why do you have, you obviously have experience doing using a vacuum. Why do you use the vacuum? To clean up the floor. Okay. Right? Is that what a vacuum is for? I mean, so we're together on that. But and driving dogs crazy. All right. But why do we vacuum? Why do we vacuum? To keep the house clean. But now I don't want you to, well, be careful how you answer this, but how often do you clean at your house? How often do you clean? Huh? Mostly never. I'm not going to say who said that, Jack. Mostly never. Sometimes, but usually at my house, I don't know if it's like this at your house, but if you have somebody to come and stay at your house, that is so when you start cleaning up, right? Isn't that when we clean up? Yes. So raise your hand if you've ever had to clean up so somebody can stay at your house. Okay. Now that happens. But why do we clean up when somebody comes to stay? What? You don't want your house looking like a dump. Christian. All right. all right. Why else do we? To make a good impression? Yeah, absolutely. Now, but what happens? Is it, if you don't clean up often, you know, and you only clean up never, and maybe once a year, is it more difficult to clean up then as opposed to maybe vacuuming once a week? Yeah. But we don't like it, do we? We don't like it. But you know what? We prepare because we love the people that are coming. We want to hang out with them. We're preparing for them, right? And so we have a vacuum. We have to plug it in. We got to get the power. We got to get all these little things that you can use, right? These things that we make sure everything everywhere is cleaned up. You know what? I was thinking what Pastor Raymond is going to talk about and thinking about when somebody comes to visit at our house. We prepare, we clean up, we wash the windows, we get the dishes ready, we clean the beds, we vacuum, we prepare for them. Well, there's a guy that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning. His name was John the Baptist. You know who John the Baptist is? Okay. Well, he kind of did this. He prepared the way for Jesus to come. He pointed and said, look, there's Jesus. He prepared the people and said, look, there's this guy that's going to be coming, and he is the Lamb of God. He is the man. He was pointing people. He was preparing people to see Jesus. So I hope that you realize that, you know, sometimes we don't like to clean up, but we want to do the very best for people when they come to our house. Right? We like to do that. John the Baptist was doing his very, very best to tell other people that Jesus was coming. That is a pretty cool guy to listen to. I want you to listen really close. Can you do that for me this morning? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we've had today to talk just a minute about John the Baptist. Father, he prepared people to see Jesus. There are so many people in our lives who have prepared us to see Jesus. They've taken the time to teach us and help us today to realize that even as children, we can point people to Jesus. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Let's continue our time of prayer and go to the Lord. Dear God, what a blessing to see these children up here at the front, to know that there are more on the children's hall and the preschool hall, to know that these children that you're using, the people of this church and parents and grandparents, to teach these children about you and to teach them about Jesus. And how powerful it is to know the difference that you're already making in their lives, even at such a young age, Lord. And we give thanks for that. And we thank you for the energy that we see in them and the hope and the promise. And we give great thanks to you. Lord, on this first day of a new week, we also want to have energy for what's ahead. To know that it is possible that this week is going to be incredible. It's possible that this week is going to be better than last week. And that we want to have the same hope and promise that these children do, Lord, and help give us that for the coming week. Today, Lord, I lift up to you every person here, every person in this room. You know us so well, Lord. You created us and you know our hearts and minds today. You know what is foremost on our minds. You know what we are thinking about. You know what we're struggling with. We may be hurting physically, Lord, and you know that. We may be hurting emotionally. We may be struggling with a particular aspect of our lives and we just can't seem to get over it. We may be struggling with grief for the loss of a loved one. We may be struggling with a broken relationship. We may be struggling, Lord, because we're separated from you. And we stepped a little far, too far away from your presence and communion with you. And that's caused some hurt. We may be lost, Lord. We may not know what to do next. We may feel like we're all by ourselves and nobody's watching out for us. And we can't find the answers to the questions that we have. Lord, whatever is on the minds and the hearts of the people here today, I lift to you. I give thanks that you're in control, that you have the answers even that we don't. But most of all, that you love us and that you promise to love us and be present with us no matter what happens. Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you. Even if we're hurting today, even if we're struggling, even if we're lost, help us to put our hope and trust and faith in you to take a step in your direction so that we may experience the grace and the glory of your presence and your love and your faithfulness to us. Lord, let us also be mindful that just as we may be hurting this morning, that the people that are sitting beside us on either side, they're probably dealing with something pretty serious as well. And let us love and encourage the people around us. Let us love and encourage the people that we're going to come in contact with this week. Lord, we may be hurting, but the answers and the fullness and the promise of you are more powerful than anything that's going on in our lives. And we know that, but it's hard to trust that. Help us to give our all for you today as we start a new week. And give our all for you this week. That this may be the best week that we've had in our relationship with you ever. That is very possible because all things are possible through you. Help us never to forget that. And to never lose sight or lose heart. Knowing that your love and your presence is right there for us each and every day. Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for bringing us here today, giving us the opportunity to worship you, the opportunity to renew our relationship with you on the first day of a brand new week. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
pray with me. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, I thank you so much for this beautiful hymn that we've just sung and for the legacy of the hymnist, Fanny Crosby, who gave us so many of our loved hymns that touch our hearts and mean so much to us. We come this morning to worship you, to praise you, as the hymn says. And we come to give thanks. So many times, so many things around us touch our lives, so many tragedies locally and around the world. And sometimes we just forget to be thankful for the things that we have, and the things that come from you. Sometimes we forget the words of the hymn that you bore our sorrows, and especially great words, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. The things that come from you, we are so thankful for. We come now to return a portion of the gifts that you've given us. We hope that will help us to dedicate a portion of our lives as we do that, and to dedicate our lives again and again. We pray that you'll bless this gathering and bless our gifts. Amen. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what John the Baptist looked like? Based on what we know about John the Baptist, have you ever wondered what he looked like? In the 9 o'clock service, in the recreation service this morning, we had a nice visual aid. It was kind of a modern interpretation of what we think he might have looked like. He was a pretty wild dude. I mean, he really was. He was kind of out there. He was what we would call counterculture now. I mean, he really kind of ran against the flow. But it really wasn't that uncommon. In the first century, there were a lot of people that ran counter to the culture because the culture was Greco-Roman. And if you didn't want to fall in with the Romans, you were counterculture. And you could end up getting executed for it, but at least you had the right to be counterculture, I guess. But John was kind of the ultimate in counterculture. John the Baptist got his name obviously from the fact that he came and baptized with water, so we kind of call him John the Baptist. But he was the forerunner. He was the mouthpiece that was sent to tell people, you know, the Messiah's coming. And he did an incredible job of it. And he did such a good job, they killed him for it. But I want to read to you a passage this morning which gives us an insight into what John was trying to convey to people who maybe heard it with different ears. Even within the same crowd, they heard it differently. And so we entitled the sermon this morning, John the Baptist, Epiphany of Sorts. Because depending how you heard what he said, you may have different takeaway from it. But this morning, let's read together. If you have your Bible with you, open with me to John chapter 1. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There should be one somewhere in a pew next to you somewhere there. And we're going to read from the fourth gospel, John's gospel. And we'll read chapter 1 beginning in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself didn't know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look." Other translations say, "Behold." "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. That's right. Everything has a beginning. Everything has a beginning, has a point of origin, has a starting point. You know, I would suspect that the beginning of creation, the Genesis, the beginning of creation, however God chose to do that, was the most spectacular thing we could ever witness. Now, we weren't there. We didn't get to witness it. But I would imagine that was probably kind of the ultimate in terms of beginnings. You know, it's quite spectacular. You know, there are other beginnings that are more low-key and probably need someone to interpret what's going on for us so that we'll kind of know that a significant movement has begun in some fashion. You know, I believe that was probably the case when Jesus moved from private citizen to spiritual, social, and life changing for all people of all ages. We needed someone to kind of interpret what was going on for us. And John is that guy. John the Baptist is that guy. Now, John the Gospel writer records for us how John the Baptist becomes the interpreter of the beginning of the new age that was inaugurated by Jesus. Now, John, he probably knew Jesus. We said strong likelihood he knew Jesus because he was a relative. Some people say, well, they were cousins. Well, they could have been. We don't know exactly the nature of the relationship, but they were extended family. So he knew him. But he didn't recognize fully who Jesus was until through God's revelation, he understood that Jesus, he's the Messiah. Jesus is the one that prophecies had been pointing to for thousands of years. And he's my cousin. He's my cousin, or something akin to that. Now, the gospel writer, also named John, but not the same guy, tells John the Baptist preaching repentance in the beginning of chapter 1. He talks about how he was preaching repentance, how he was baptizing those that came to hear this prophetic, as opposed to pathetic. He came to hear this prophetic speaker, this prophetic preacher, talk about this back to God movement. And Jesus was among those that were hearing this message. And at first, John doesn't single Jesus out. He doesn't single him out for public recognition. It was divine revelation that allowed John to identify exactly who Jesus was as the long-awaited Messiah. It seems, as we read chapter 1, the beginning of it again, that the first day of John the Baptist's evangelistic crusade down by the Jordan River, the first day he spent basically telling people, I'm not your guy. Don't confuse me. I am not the man. However, he's coming. I'm here to tell you, he's coming soon. I'm setting the stage for the coming of the Redeemer. So perhaps it was after Jesus' baptism and temptation in the wilderness, just when Jesus is ready to begin his destined work in the world, John the Baptist introduces Jesus as none other than the Lamb of God, according to verse 29. The Lamb of God. Now, let's stop here. Let's spend a little time here. Because this label, the Lamb of God, is one. If you were in the first century and you were hearing this title, it could be confusing to you. Or it may not be confusing, but your interpretation of what that means compared to the guy standing beside you may be slightly different things. Let me give an example. Perhaps if you heard the Lamb of God, your mind went all the way back to Egypt. You knew the story of what the children of Israel had experienced, the persecution they had experienced there. And when God was getting ready to deliver them out of the hands of Pharaoh, he told them, he said, hey, you need to kill the lamb, put the blood above the door, and what that will do is keep you safe. When the angel of death passes over, it will keep you safe. So when they hear the Lamb of God, they're thinking the lamb that was slain to save us from death. Well, that's actually pretty spot on if you think about it. You know, Jesus does take the sting out of death. Jesus does remove the fear of death, and he replaces that fear with the promise of eternal life. I mean, that's a good deal. In a very real sense, Jesus' shed blood does protect every Christian from the fear of death and from the grip of death. Now, that may be how you hear a Lamb of God. The guy standing beside you may have heard something different. When he heard Lamb of God, he may have heard it in relationship to the sacrifice of a lamb every morning, every evening at the temple, at the altar there, to deliver the people from their sins. So he would say, okay, so Jesus is the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the people. But the difference is, his sacrifice would never need repeating. He wouldn't have to do it again. You know, this once and for all sacrifice, it kind of makes null and void the necessity for that constant twice daily sacrifice that was needed to take care of the sins of the people. So that's maybe what you would hear. Still others would hear the Lamb of God and they go, oh, okay, that's Isaiah's guy. Back in Isaiah chapter 53, you know, you read about Isaiah saying the one who would come, the sacrificial lamb, the one who would suffer and be sacrificed to redeem God's people. That may be what you hear. But let me give you one other one. Those three come to mind probably for most of us. But let me give you one other one that's less known. There were those, when they heard the term Lamb of God, they heard something really different, related but different. They would remember the remote idea that a horned lamb was the symbol of a mighty conqueror. Now, this idea arose in the period between the Old and the New Testaments. You know, when the Maccabees, when they ruled Israel. You know, and in this interbiblical period, Judas Maccabeus, Samuel, David, Solomon, all of these guys are described as horned lambs, mighty conquerors, military leaders, not a weak, helpless animal that was destined for sacrifice, but rather a conquering champion who defeats the enemy with the power of God. Oh, yeah. That may be what some of them heard. And Jesus, if you think about it, he fits that bill too. Because he's the one who conquered the enemy of sin that brings death. But if you were thinking of the horned lamb as the Lamb of God, you can understand and be more patient with those other people that tried to push Jesus into a role of defeating Rome, right? See, they heard, oh, you really are the man. You're going to come and you're going to free us from Roman persecution. Oh, just like Solomon, just like David. Oh, man, David. Judas Maccabeus, yes. I mean, that's maybe what. So be a little bit more patient with those who maybe heard it in this manner and had their hopes and their dreams raised to a level that Jesus was not going to fulfill in the fashion that they thought. But John the Baptist's succinct introduction of Jesus as the Lamb of God, no matter how they heard it, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, quite ably describes all aspects of God's Lamb, no matter what the hearers heard. Second, I think we need to turn kind of our attention to the fact that after John the Baptist gave witness of who Jesus was, he also explained how he knew that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And it's related to how the Spirit came upon Jesus. You know, by God's instruction, John was to look for the one on whom the Spirit comes and remains. This next guy would not baptize with water. He was going to baptize with the Spirit. So he had to have the Spirit of God. And John declared that he saw the Spirit come down like a descending dove upon Jesus, identifying him as the Son of God. That's what he says in verses 32 through 34. But understand now, doves held a very unique place in the Jewish religion. They've been called the sacred bird because they were the only member of the avian family to be designated for sacrificial use. They were not to be eaten. They were not to be used for food. They were for sacrifice purpose. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that kind of a soft, haunting kind of whoo that they make. All right. But that's probably the vision. When they heard something about a dove descending like a dove, they probably heard that sound in their mind's ear. They probably also had an image of how doves behave. Now, if you watch most birds, if you've got a bird feeder, how many have bird feeders in your back? Have you ever seen a dove light on one? Doves don't swoop in and land and start eating. Most birds just go to the perch, boom, eat. Doves kind of come in and then they flutter a little bit and settle in, right? You've seen them. Give me a little feedback here. You've seen them. Yes, okay. All right, the choir has seen doves do this. All right? So doves kind of hover a little bit. They flap their wings and then they kind of settle in. So John the Baptist is saying, look, the Spirit didn't hit Jesus like a lightning bolt. The Spirit came and settled on him. You know, the Spirit didn't come And like in the Old Testament, you had prophets, you had judges, where the Spirit of God came upon them and it equipped them to do a task. And when the task was done, task was completed, the Spirit would leave them. And it would come back when it needed them to do the next task. John said, no. That's not what Jesus is all about. It came and settled on Jesus to the point where it became a part of who he was, who he is. The Spirit came and dwelt in Jesus. The gospel writer goes out of his way. Twice he declares the permanence of the Spirit in Jesus. He plainly says that the Spirit stayed, that the Spirit abided, that the Spirit dwelt in Jesus. So in other words, it's as if the Spirit were a permanent resident. The Spirit is now a part of Jesus. And the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus indicates great truths that made Jesus known uniquely as the Son of God. The Spirit, like the wind that the Hebrews called Ruach, declares power. Power. Now, you've seen the power of wind, haven't you? Straight line winds, tornadoes, the damaging winds from hurricanes. You've seen the sheer power that wind can demonstrate. You've also seen the constructive side of it. The great windmills of Europe. Now, I guess out in the Midwest, they have these wind farms as well, where they have these giant windmills that collect and harness the power. Just unbelievable power that the wind demonstrates. And think about that in the way of Jesus. Jesus says, or John says, that this power of untapped proportions dwells in Jesus. Because he's filled with the Spirit, the breath of God. The Spirit is the source of life. Pneuma. We preach, we believe that Jesus is the source of life and brings life to all mankind. So in the prologue to his gospel, John clearly says in verse 4, he says, "In him was life, and that life was the light for all people." It would be the Spirit that John the Baptist saw settling on Jesus that men and women would know that Jesus is life. The Spirit is God. When the Spirit descended upon Jesus, it was to clearly declare, "Here is God in your midst, the Lamb of God. The Spirit of God dwells in him." It's like, if you allow me to paraphrase, like John would say, God has come among you. Here he is. He abides in this man that you know as Jesus of Nazareth. Through Jesus, you will see the power of God revealed in ways that you could never dream. You will discover life as you have never known it. You will find God fully revealed as he is. That's what John was trying to say. And the baptism of Jesus was not just a traditional Jewish ceremony for cleansing. It was the proclamation that the Spirit and power of God had come fully into this world in Jesus. So when we, like those who heard John the Baptist, when we choose to follow Jesus, we experience the power of God's Spirit in Jesus to forgive our sins, to save us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and set us free from the burden of guilt that sin brings. We're given the power to live triumphantly in Christ fashion and to serve in his Spirit. We are filled with his courage. We understand his truth, and we're empowered to share that truth with other people using our God-given talents and abilities to do it. When we allow Christ to be our Lord and Savior, Lord of everything that we do, his Spirit fills us, it guides us, it makes us into new creations, as Paul said, new creations in Christ to serve him in his kingdom. Christians should look different from other people. Christians should act different from other people. If we're Spirit-filled. And all of this revelation about who Jesus is began when Jesus came to John to be baptized and a gentle flutter of dove's wings was heard. I guess you could say it was an epiphany of sorts. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the fact that in Jesus, you showed us who you are. You demonstrated the power of who you are. But you also showed us the love that defies description. Father, with our human minds, we can't understand love that gives that much. But we are so grateful that you cherish us enough to send your son Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. God, we love you. We say it with our hearts. We say it with our minds. We say it with our mouths. But sometimes our actions don't match up. And we pray that this morning that you would touch our hearts, that you would cleanse us, that you would make us new creations in Christ, so that we can live the kind of lives that point others to Jesus, just as John pointed everyone to Jesus. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us your power to do that. And we'll be careful to give you all of the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. If you're here this morning, you don't know this man Jesus I've talked about, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who came to save you from your sins. I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And when we do, I'm going to be here at the front, and I'll be glad to share with you. If you want to come and ask me how you can have a relationship with Jesus. If you don't want to come down here, that's fine. Call me this week. Come by. I've got a card or get a number or call me at the church. I'll be glad to meet you anywhere you'd like. And we'll talk about it because that's the most important decision you make in your life. The fact that you surrender who you are and give that back to God. I can't stress the importance of that enough. If you're here this morning, you say, well, I am a Christian, but I really haven't maybe matched up to what I should be doing. This is your day. You know, God knew you'd be here this morning. And he knew what you were going to hear this morning. And so be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit leads you, if you want to come talk, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you want to pray where you are, certainly welcome to do that. The altar will be open if you want to come pray here. Settle it before you leave here, before you leave out of here this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I love this church. I love coming and being part of it in worship, but I'd like to be a member. I'd like to be a full-blown member of College Park. I was certainly glad to tell you, there's a lot of ways we accept members. We'd be glad to share with you how you can do that. But whatever your decision is, take this time to be serious with God. Hear his voice to you. Respond as he leads you as we stand and sing together. following the benediction and the response, I hope you'll take a few minutes to greet the people around you. Give them a hug. Give them a handshake. Encourage them. We're in this together, people, and we need each other. We need the Lord, but we need each other too. So encourage one another before you leave this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessings of today, those that we recognize as well as those we don't recognize. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, that as your children, we would be obedient, but that we would also be joy-filled so that others will come to know you as a reflection that shines brightly through our lives. God, we love you. We pray for your blessing now as we go. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.